Today's scripture reading, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Okay, we need some new equipment. Oh, I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. This is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Okay, I think this is the last. Okay. I've been preaching for many years now, 30, 40 years. But every time when I step up here, my heart rate actually increases. So I was sitting there, and actually my heart was pumping. Every time I walk up here and deliver a sermon, I see that's the most important sermon of my life. Because some of you may be here, listen to me only once. Maybe there may be visitors, guests, travelers that I may not see you again. And every sermon I preach, I preach to myself first, as I shared before. And every sermon I preach, I find it's the most important sermon that the message God has given me. So as I was thinking, this is my first sermon for 2024. So what would be a message that I want all of you to remember for the rest of the year? That would be hard, isn't it? Maybe to remember until next Sunday. What would be the most important message that I want to share with all of you? Our church has many programs. We have three congregations, Mandarin, Cantonese, and us, English. We have many different activity programs, and during Christmas time we have a Christmas banquet, and we have 300 people show up in the Christmas banquet, paying $50 to come and eat and share together. We have beautiful worship teams. I mean, you know, you just sit there and listen to Tim to sing. I mean, I can sit there all day long and just, you know. And we have a Sunday school, Alpha program, fellowships, Clay, QF, Power Fighters, Connors, and Saturday Night Fellowship. We have many programs and mission conference. But there's one area I find it's our weakest ministry besides the prayer meetings. But actually, our prayer meetings was not that bad last time. It's one area I find is our weakest area. As you know, I was an engineer. I think I'm still an engineer, engineer for life. And when we design a equipment and structure, and then at the end we have to stamp it and say how strong this equipment is. Right. This equipment may look humongous, big, strong, but we have to find the weakest area in this equipment. And that is the strength that we stamp it. This thing may look huge, but it's only as strong as its weakest part. And this whole equipment, we have to stamp, this is only good for 50 pounds. What if this thing looks like a dinosaur? Well, this is the weakest link, right? Team will know, right? So we have to find, same in the process, in the process plant, right? I'm talking engineering now. We have to find which is the bottleneck of the whole plant, and the production is limited by that one piece of equipment. So what is the weakest link in our church? And I have to say is evangelism. Amen? It's partly because of our culture, Western culture. We feel that sharing religion is inappropriate. You know, it's a freedom of speech. I mean, everybody can express, can believe what they want. We should not force others into even listening to our belief. A study done, all the studies are done in the U.S., most Christians know that they have to share the gospel. But they did a study. Only 61% of Christians have not told another person about their faith in the last 6 months. That's not bad, actually. That means 39% of the Christians has actually shared their faith in the last 6 months. I'm not sure if I do a survey now. We have that many people raise up their hands. Yes, I shared the gospel in the last 6 months. And the reasons for not willing to share the faith, the number one reason here, according to this chart, is fear. Well, this fear could mean I'm a bit worried, my friend may not like it, I may upset. I said, oh, I'm just fear to talk, to share, to tell people about my faith. And the next reason is lack of opportunities, especially if you're a pastor. You find that you lack of opportunity to share the gospel because you're surrounded by Christians, elders, deacons. They're all church leaders, right? Christians. And the third reason is nothing. I like this reason. I think this is the real reason, nothing. It's just that we don't want to share the gospel. We fear that we may upset people, but very often it's because of our ignorance. Or we think that sharing the gospel is a very difficult, challenging task. It's only for pastors, evangelists, elders, like Elder Rob. You know, he goes to the lighthouse, the seaport, to minister to the seamen every Thursday. It's for someone like Elder Rob, or for the gospel department, for the Alpha team. We have an Alpha course here twice a year. So it's only for people who are running the Alpha. So we compartmentalize our ministry. You know, someone will do this, someone will do that, someone will do evangelism. Well, we assigned them to do evangelism, so they are the one. I don't know how many people are there. We do have an evangelism department at church. Right? They're the ones who are supposed to do all the mission work. I'm not equipped. I'm just a new Christian. I'm not trained and equipped. I became a Christian when I was in second year university at UBC. And I accepted Christ when I was shared the gospel by my colleagues, classmates at school. So when I became a Christian, I came to this church, VCC. It was a long time ago. So I came here, I joined one of the youth group, Cantonese youth group, similar to our clay in English. And I was only a Christian for a few months. I accepted Christ around January, and then I came to church. And then the summer came, and then the fellowship decided to have a summer project. So they decided to go down to Chinatown. Their goal is to evangelize Chinatown. I said, wow, this is a big task. So we said, we'll go down to Chinatown every Sunday after worship. So we pray here. So I said, but I know nothing about the Bible. I don't know how to share the gospel. I said, no problem. Here's the four spiritual laws. So you just have to memorize this. No, you are a sinner. Do you believe that Jesus is the Lord? And if you accept him, I'll lead you into a prayer. Right? Well, that's all you need. So give me a whole bunch of booklets. And I don't even know the New Testament from the Old Testament. So they pair us up to two people. The other one is not any better than me because we baptized together later on. So to us, each group of two, and we'll send down to Chinatown. So I spent the whole summer doing that. It's not only one Sunday. They do that every Sunday afternoon for 3 months. So I went down there, I know nothing. I actually led some people to Christ. Amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. And not a lot of people store, but well, today you don't go and not a lot of people store, right? People will call the police, right? But in those days, it's very peaceful in Vancouver. So we knock at people's door, and people actually open the door and let us in. Oh, Chinese, come in, right? And give us cookies and tea. And we did have chance to actually share the gospel. And people actually, some people actually accepted Christ. I actually led someone to become a Christian. So sharing the gospel is not for somebody who has an MDiv or THM or a master degree in theology. Even me, as a new Christian, we can share the gospel. One of the reasons I find that we do not share the gospel because we do not know we are called to do it. Apostle Paul said, I am a servant, doulos, the Greek actually it could translate as a slave. Paul is not only talking about Paul here. We are a slave of Jesus. We are called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. And we set apart so that we can share the gospel, so that we can share the faith to all people, all race, not only the Jewish people here, also to the Gentiles. We are called for a mission. Today, some of us are called to a vocation. Some of us, quite a few of us are teachers, nurses, doctors, engineers, accountants. Since we are CMO, was an accountant. So we are all called to a vocation. So we have to do our job. If you are an engineer, so you do engineering, right? So you have to improve the GDP of Canada, right? You build things. We are ambassadors for the Lord. We are Christ's ambassador. But instead, I think I have a slide here. No. But instead today, if you forget most of the things I shared this morning, you probably will. Again, that's one thing I'm sure you will. But remember the title of my sermon. What's the title of my sermon? Tiffany? Okay, you are focused on singing. All right, okay. Grace, the title of my sermon. Royal Secret Agent. Okay, if you forget everything that I shared this morning, remember my title. You are not a royal secret agent, but very often we became a royal secret agent of the gospel. When you retire, I said, oh, Norman, you're a Christian? You're good in hiding that. You're a Christian after working here for 35 years. You're a Christian. I didn't even know that. You're good in hiding your faith. We are very good in hiding our faith, keeping to ourselves. But instead, we are called to be the ambassador for Christ, the ambassador of the gospel. The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. When we first became a Christian, usually the young Christians are the ones who are really enthusiastic about sharing the gospel. In the Church Alpha program, most of the people who bring friends to the Alpha program are the new Christians. When we first became a Christian, we are excited about being a fisherman like I was many years ago. Slowly we enjoy the fish. So we learn how to cook the fish, steam the fish, fry the fish, bake the fish, and then slowly we teach others how to do fishing. And then we talk about fishing. We even develop science of fishing. We even get a degree, PhD in physiology. So we talk about, we wrote songs about fishing. But then slowly, no one is fishing. Everybody become a custodian of an aquarium. We look after the fishes that's already there. Or we take some fish from another fish tank. You know what I mean? We don't have to do evangelism anymore. We just have to attract people from other aquariums. we forget that we are called to be the fisher of men. The church exists for nothing else but to draw men, people, to Christ, to make them lead to Christ. If they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, big churches, clergy, pastors, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose. It's to save the world, to save all of us. Everything in the scripture is either it's the preparation of the God for the gospel, presentation of the gospel, or participating in the gospel. Paul said that I'm obligated, indebted to share the gospel with all races. We are indebted. For some of us who are lucky enough to have a mortgage, we say, what? Well, you need to be qualified for a mortgage, right? Not everybody can qualify for a mortgage. If you have a mortgage, you should be thankful you are qualified for a mortgage. If you have a mortgage or a car loan, you're obligated to pay once a month at least. You're obligated. We are indebted. We are obligated to share the gospel. It's not like that you have a mortgage, a car loan, and you tell the bank, I don't feel like paying this month. Wait until I feel better. Right? You never feel better about borrowing money from the bank. I don't want to pay this month. You can't say that. You're obligated. So we cannot say that I don't feel like I want to share the gospel. You're obligated. Wow, this is a bit harsh, isn't it? But we have to make a determination. We have to determine that we want to be an ambassador of the gospel. I do not want to be a royal secret agent. That's the price of the pay. But in North America here, the price is relatively small. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness. Witness, the word witness is martyr. Right? Later on, they coined the word in English, martyr. Right? It came from the word witness. Witness in Greek is martyreo, right? To witness. For Christians in the first century, or even nowadays, in some area, witnessing for Christ, they have to pay a big price, even their lives. Paul was beheaded in Rome in 60 AD. And he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Polycarp, burnt to death 168 AD. He said, I'm 60 years old. I've served the Lord Jesus and he has never once wronged me. Julius Palmer, also burnt in England because of his faith, 1556. We shall not end our lives in the fire, but make a change for a better life. Famous German theologian, a lot of us have read, I really like his book, Cause of Discipleship. Bonhoeffer, hanged by the Nazi in 1945. This is for me the beginning of life. Well-known missionary. Jim Elliot, killed by the headhunters in Ecuador, 1956. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Today, we don't have to pay a big price for the gospel, to share the gospel. It may take some of your time, your pride, your love to share the gospel to your colleague, your classmates. Fear not, and do not be ashamed of the gospel. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Jesus said, whoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of the Father with his holy angels. At the beginning of the pandemic, we were all really scared. I was scared. Most of you, we are not allowed to come to church because of the restrictions. But the pastors, everybody is sort of staying safe inside their house. I think you still remember those days. It was 4 years ago. But all the pastors, we still have to come to work. We still have to go out. We still meet people at church because we are allowed to come to church as an employee. And sometimes, if you ask me, I do worry, because I classify under that one of the vulnerable groups. if at that time, if you catch the virus, it is a very high chance you could be seriously ill. And if at that time someone said, I have a cure for COVID, wow, you will be so proud, isn't it? To share this formula with the whole world, isn't it? If today you have developed a drug that cures a cancer, wow, you will be so happy. You probably go out there and tell everybody, tell the whole world. But we have a cure for eternal death. We have a message that can bring people abundant life. This life, not just in the future, this life. Most of the Bible is talking about this life, not the next life, the future life in heaven. Most of the Bible tell us how to have an abundant life, this life. And we do have this cure, this secret. Why should we be ashamed of it? We do not need to apologize for it. It is a powerful gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power. Power, the Greek word is the dunamis. Dunamis. Later on, they use this word for dynamite. Right? So the word dynamite comes from the Greek word power. But this gospel is the power of God. We do not need to feel fear, scare in sharing it. It's just that after we become a Christian for some time, we forgot that this gospel is powerful. How could anybody believe in such a simple message, isn't it? When was the last time you shared your gospel? Well, when was the last time I shared the gospel? It was half a day ago. I was sharing someone the gospel last night at church at the last row there at about 7 o'clock. So it's 14 hours ago. I was sharing the gospel with some newcomers. I shared with him for about 15 minutes. He was that close to accept, but he said he would think about it. I said, okay, you think about it. No, here's my number. Okay, you call me when you want this eternal life. I said, I'm very close here, but I want to think about it. This is too rough for me. So he walked away. But I did share the gospel with him. When was the last time you shared the gospel? I brought many people to Christ, but the one that I remember the most is one time when I started the Mandarin ministry some 15, 20 years ago. I started the Mandarin church here. So one time we have a home gathering, and there are a lot of international students. So one is from China. So it wasn't a gospel meeting, it was just a fun meeting. So when we almost finished, and then she asked me, this girl, she's a student at UBC, she asked me if she can become a Christian. She really enjoy the fellowship. I said, have you been to church in China before? I said, no. Have you been to church in Vancouver? No. Have you ever listened to the gospel? No. This is the first time I joined a Christian meeting. So, well, you cannot be a Christian. You need to spend some time to learn the gospel first. But said, no, I really want to be a Christian. And then the one next to me said, yeah, Pastor, you should not tell people not to accept Christ. That's right. That's absolutely right. But I don't think she really knows the gospel. Well, then tell her. I said, okay. So I spent half an hour explaining the gospel to her, but she had never heard the gospel before. And then she said, yeah, I want to become a Christian. So she became a Christian. Now, then you may ask, is her faith genuine? Why won't you question that? Right? Is this, well, how can it be so fast? Well, it took me long time to go through 101 Christianity, all these classes. Well, she's still at the Mandarin Church. She has a family now. She's actively serving. Because there's power in the gospel. This power is beyond our belief. Isn't that sad, isn't it? We, even Christians, do not believe that the gospel is so powerful. That's why we do not want to share this powerful message, because we may offend people. But people would not believe this is such a simple thing. So we try to help God repackage this gospel. We try to add our interpretation. We add more stories to it. We make it more beautiful so that we can attract people to listen. We package this gospel so much that people sometimes miss the package. They only remember all your packaging, all your stories, illustrations. They miss that, the center of this gospel. The gospel itself is power. It sells itself. Some new immigrants church told me that I'm trying to buy a new car. What do you mean you're trying to buy a new car? Well, I put in, I reserved a new car, by the way, for 2 years. I said, what? Yeah, well, I won't tell you which model it is. I sign up, I pay a deposit, $500. I have to wait for 2 years to get this car, so I end up buying a used car. I said, what? I would love to be a salesman for this car. Right? The car sells itself. I won't tell you what model this is. You all lie up and try to buy. The car sells itself. Our gospel is so powerful, it sells itself. It's so powerful that we don't even believe it. But I don't believe giving you more guilt, bringing you more guilt, would help you to become an evangelist. No matter how many times the pastor here tell you that it's our obligation to share the gospel, I don't think that would help. It won't only help until when we have the snack time. You feel all guilty, and then the minute you go in there, you forget everything that I said. You'll be so happy, so cheerful, eating whatever shopping has prepared for you. And guilt, responsibility, teaching won't help. Because we need to have a love for people's soul. Paul, obviously, was a great evangelist, but not because he knew that he has to share the gospel, because he loved the lost souls. Paul confessed that he prayed earnestly for the salvation of his fellow Jews. He prayed. Now, how do you know you really care about the lost souls? When was the last time you prayed for them? Your family members who are not Christians. Your friends in school who are not Christians. Your colleagues at work who are not Christians. When, how often you pray for them? When I was young, it was a long time ago, the door of China, mainland China, was closed. Right? So you cannot even bring Bibles in there. So all the churches in the world, Chinese churches, they all always pray for China. We even have special prayer meetings. So we come in Saturday afternoon, only one purpose, to pray for the door of China to open. But nowadays, the door is wide open. They're all here as well. We don't have to go to China. But in those days, the door is closed. All the churches, Chinese churches, not just Chinese churches, I mean all the churches in the world pray for China. We need to pray for people. And the biggest thing that we need is a love, is a heart to love the lost souls. If you don't have that, all these rules, teachings, not going to excite you, to motivate you. T.J. Bach was converted while he was a student in Denmark. So one day, before he became a Christian, one day he walked down the street on a Sunday afternoon, and then he noticed a young man handing out gospel tracts. So this young man gave him a gospel tract, and he just blew it up and threw it away. And then when Bach looked back, and then he noticed this young man sitting there praying for him. He was not mad, praying for him. And then he saw tears coming from this young man. And then he was really shocked. He said that he couldn't understand it. He said that this young man have to pay, give money to buy these tracts. You know, these tracts are not free, probably very expensive. Not like nowadays, you just download it from Google. You have to actually buy it, right? You have to pay it, but it costs you quite a bit. And then he spent the Sunday afternoon while then going to places and standing at the corner of the street here to hand out gospel tracts. And then when I flew it away, he was not even mad. He prayed for me. So TJ Bach, he went back and picked up that tracts and put it in the pocket, and then he took it home. And then he went home, and then he read these tracts, and then later on he said that he became a Christian. And then he later on became head of this missionary organization called TEAM, still exists today, to become one of the directors there. So it is not the obligation that I think I can motivate all of you, my beloved members of this church, to go out and do evangelism. You need to have this love for others. When someone come and ask Jesus what's the greatest commandment in the Bible, Jesus said, love God and love others. But he only asked for what is the greatest one. There can only be one, but the greatest, the greatest one commandment. But Jesus gave him two answers, but it's not two answers. It's actually only one. Love God and love man is only one answer. There's only one commandment. This is the greatest commandment, to love man and God. It's together. It's only one thing. We come here to worship God, but what's the best worship that we can give to God? We can bring more lost people to worship him, isn't it? Why then keep it to yourself? Why then just become a royal secret agents. Evangelism is not an activity. It is a way of life. You do not do evangelism because it's Saturday at 3 o'clock from 4 o'clock is our outreach time. Tuesday, 6:30 to 9:30 is our alpha call. So that time I do evangelism. Outside that, I am a secret agent. Evangelism is a way of life. If you live by the same values and priorities Jesus had, you will find evangelism happening naturally. It becomes a lifestyle and not a project. Evangelism is not for the mission department, it's for all of us. If you have Christ in you. So it is actually a reflection of how deep your Christian life is by looking at how much you care about the lost souls. So in closing, I want to share this story. In 2018, a young lady in Sunderland, England, she was in great depression. And she was going to end her life by jumping off the Wearmouth Bridge. It's a well-known place, not for tourists, but for people who want to commit suicide. So he went there a few times, and one day she decided this is the day she's going to jump off the bridge. And as she was prepared to end her life, two truck driver stopped by and came out and then comforted her and held her back, called the police. And these two good Samaritans told her, "You are worth so much more than this." So she was rescued, saved. So after that, after she got over this, and then she decided, "I'm going to help other people, right, to save their life." So she went back. This is her actual picture. I got it from her Facebook. She has a Facebook. So she went back there, and then she started putting signs, lots of them, like 300 signs on the bridge, saying, "Step back, you're worth it. Don't give up, not now, not tomorrow, not ever." So she put signs all over the bridge. And then this helped a lot of people who plan to end their life there. How many, they don't know, but they recorded. For sure they know, at least 28, this 3 years later, because people wrote back to her. But how many others were saved from this signs that this girl put up, with people do not know? So one mother wrote back to her. Here it is. This mother said, "Depression is a hard thing to deal with, and I felt so alone that I went to Wearmouth Bridge. All I needed was somebody to tell me it was going to be okay, or for someone just to say, when you feel like giving up, just remember why you held on for so long. I just need somebody to tell me, then I would not jump." But there's nobody there, right? So as I was prepared to jump, I saw these signs, right? And it helped me to change my mind. Otherwise, my two kids would not have a mother. Wow. So to be a soul winner is the happiest thing in the world. And if every soul you bring to Jesus Christ, you seem to get a new heaven here upon earth. I got the opportunity, privilege to lead many people to Christ. It's not because of me, believe me. It's because of the gospel itself. I ask God to give me the opportunity to lead 10 people to Christ each year. And I was able to accomplish that until I became a senior pastor. Then I'm surrounded by all these Christians. but I still try my best. It's not because of me or because of my skill, experience. It's because the gospel sells itself. There's power in the gospel. Jesus said, "I will make you fisher man, not yourself. I will make you a good fisher of men." So to end, I want to share Spurgeon's prayer, a very powerful prayer. "Oh, my brothers and sisters in Christ, if sinner will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over my bodies." Over my dead bodies. Kind of a bit humorous as well. "And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay and not madly to destroy themselves." Have you done that? Friends next to you, every morning in the classroom, even your family members, have you warned them? If hell must be filled, it's just an analogy. There's no quota in hell. If hell must be filled, okay, God, if you need to have so many people to fill the hell, and let not one go there unwanted and unprayed for. Wow. I don't know about you. This is such a powerful, passionate prayer, isn't it? And I don't know how close we are to Spurgeon's prayer when we see all these lost people around us. When was the last time you shared the gospel? When was the last time you tried to bring someone to a Christian event? When was the last time you invited someone to Alpha Course? Or when was the last time you prayed for a lost soul? May this prayer be your prayer. Let's pray. Father, help all us to make this prayer our prayer. Let not one of our close friends go to eternal death without a warning from us, without hearing the gospel from us. Help us to be an ambassador for your gospel and not a royal secret agent. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.